Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. He will utter dark sayings and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
And now, Voices of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Yahuwah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast, Yahuwah's Radio. Is now on the air. I be your host, I mean, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Coming to Exile, the biblical scholarly journey of the true Israel, the Israelites, part number 20. We're just going to get right off into it and bring that young lion in, and we're going to get something going on, because remember one thing, that great big feast is only sunshine, sundown again. It's just that close. So we got to be clear to show you exactly how this thing, There's a reason why we got to make sure you understand how this thing goes. There's a lot of feedback from here and now. There's a lot of feedback right now. WCC. All right, I'm going to bring that young line in. We're going to get something going on. Because we got to make sure we clear, that you're clear about exactly what's coming up very shortly. And we're going to try to touch on everything we can get our hands on and touch on, fear led by Yahuwah. So we meet the young lion with a loud voice. He say, young lion, brother Titus Israel, Yahuwah be your FC right.
Yahuwah bless you there. Seer. Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, young man. It's all right to me that you friends do your part, and that's what it's all about. Young man, friends do his part, and that's what it's all about. If everybody do their part, keep on putting the parts together, them parts going to become a whole. Luke, chapter
12,
verse 12. Let's get something going on there, young
lion. The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you at the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right, young lion. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Excellent, young lion. We've got a couple more memos just came in there, and we're trying to get everything prepared for this broadcast. So, give me a double dose of that Luke 12:12 again. Give me another shot of that, young lion. Luke 12:12.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Right, the spirit will take care of the business. So let's get in it. Let's open up young line by verse number 6-8. Let's see what they're telling us. 1 John 5:6-8. Let's open up, because remember, we had a lot of memos based upon the baptism. There's a whole lot of stuff on the table. And we're going to take care of a lot of things on baptism and showing you exactly what that's talking about. We touched on it yesterday a little bit. I mean, you know, we touched on it a lot. In our eyes, it's just a little bit. But it was a bombshell to those that got ear to hear. So, in 1 John, in the back of the book, chapter 5, let's look at down to verse 8. 1 John in the back of the book, young line, chapter 5, verse 6, down to verse 8. We're going to touch on the baptism. We're going to touch on going to heaven. But before we touch on any of that, it's very important to understand something. We are the sickest people on the planet. And we need to know exactly why we have such a bad sickness on us, because we don't know who we are in this Bible. What do it say in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1 and 2? Let's put that to the side for a minute, young man. I want to go one way, but the living spirits are not here. I want you to go the way I tell you to go. Leviticus chapter 3, verse 11 says, whatever I just said a minute ago, bring it out, young man, come on.
The book of Leviticus and the heavenly tablets and the law, the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1. "And Yahweh spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them," verse 2, "speak unto the children of Israel, the Israelites, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth."
So when you read the book of the Leviticus, that book is specifically read for understanding of the children of Israel, the Israelites. And what do it tell us in the last three verses of that 11th chapter, young man? Now, let's draw the picture. The picture is the Almighty is speaking to the people of the book called the children of Israel. The Israelites. That's who you really are. So this message is going, if you're a bloodline Israelite, this message is for you. Now, what do we say in the last three verses of the 11th chapter there, young man?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 45-47. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45 reads, "For I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Yahweh. You should therefore be righteous, for I am righteous." Verse 46, "This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the water, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 47. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten.
Mm-hmm. He says, I want you to be righteous because he is righteous. Children of Israel, the Almighty is telling you, I want you to be righteous because he is righteous. Now, what's that supposed to mean? Let's go to 625. How he wants the children of Israel to be righteous. What's that supposed to mean? We're going to precept that to 625. So this your maker in heaven. Send the angel down and tell Moses and Aaron, tell the children of Israel, the Israelites, I want you to be righteous because he is right. That's what he says. That's big talk with them. So we're going to precept how to be righteous in Deuteronomy 6:25. How can we be righteous, y'all lying? Come on.
The fifth book of the law of the heavenly tablets, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25 reads, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, laws, statutes, and judgments before Yahweh, our Yahweh, as he had commanded us.
So being righteous is you doing what he tell you to do. He wants the children of Israel to be righteous. He don't want you to be in this predicament that you're in as a people today because you don't know the definition of being right. And we want to break it down about you being right. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23 there. Young lions. And we look at verse 5 and 6. Because he's telling the children of Israel, the Israelites, be ye righteous because I am right. Make a difference between what you put in your mouth and what you don't put in your mouth. Don't just put anything in your mouth. Be ye righteous because I am right. That's what he's telling you, children of Israel. That's what he's saying. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5 and 6 says what?
The book of Jeremiah the seer, chapter 23, verse 5 and verse 6. Jeremiah the seer, chapter 23, verse 5 reads, behold, the day comes, said Yahweh, when I raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign, rule, and prosper, and to execute judgment and justice in the earth. Verse 6. In his day, Yahdah Judah, southern kingdom, shall be saved, and Israel, northern kingdom, shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahweh, our righteousness.
And he will be called Yahweh, our righteousness. Hey, how many letters is that, then, young lion? How many letters is that?
Four letters. YHWH.
So you see, he's telling Moses to remind them, and he made it plain in 9:16. Something he said in 9:16 of Exodus to Moses. He said something to Moses in 9:16, that young man. What he said in Exodus 9:16, what did he say? I tell you, read verse 15 just to make it sound good. 15 and 16. He said something in Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 and 16. Hey, what did he say, that young man?
The second book of the law, the book of Exodus, chapter 9. Verse 15 and 16. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15 reads, "For now I will stretch out my hand, that I will smite you and your people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth." Verse 16, "And in very deed, for this cause have I raised you up, for showing you my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth."
So that's the reason why when we come on the broadcast, and that he wants his name to be declared out to all the earth. At the time, he told Moses that there was no such thing as English language, period. There was no such thing as English. So the Lord God and Jehovah Jesus, they need to exist at this time. So that ain't a name he wants you to make sure you publish. He wants you to publish the Semitic name that he was talking to Moses in that now they call Hebrew. But it was Semitic. Some four letters. He wants you to make sure you understand that I'm the four-letter man, YHWH. And if you look up to what that word means, that is the true name of your maker. True name. See, and we trying to help you understand something. The children of Israel have to come back to this understanding. Then once you read this Bible on your leisure time, you'll start seeing things that he's telling you not to do, and you do it anyway. So now, this is what he tells you in Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17. Now, let's start taking a look at what he's telling you in Leviticus 3, 17. Now, listen to this reading. Now, remember, this message is to the children of Israel, the Israelites, who read the book of Leviticus. Look what he tells them in 3:17.
Go on to the book of Leviticus. At the heavenly tablets, Leviticus chapter 3, verse 17, reads, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that ye eat neither fat nor blood."
Yeah. So now, if this will be a perpetual covenant to you, children of Israel, to eat neither fat nor blood, that means forever. That means the majority of the time when you stop at these restaurants, what are you getting? Stop at these restaurants, but knowing that you cannot eat blood or fat. Don't you know everything you buy in a restaurant that got blood in it, they don't do the 831 on. They don't do 831 on your meat. See, he says, "I want you children of Israel to be righteous because I am righteous." So when you stop and order something from the restaurant, or you take your loved one to a sit-in restaurant, do you know they do not do the 831 of Leviticus? Do you know that? What is it in 831 of Leviticus?
The book of Leviticus of the heavenly tablets. Chapter 8, verse 31 reads, "And Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of Israel, and there eat it with bread that is in the basket of consecration, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it."
He tell you the first thing he wants the children of Israel to do is boil the gook, the blood, out of your meat before you eat the meat. Remember the young lion read in the 11th chapter, he said, "Be you righteous because I am right." Told him, listen. So what he's telling you, children of Israel, the reason why I got so many memos on sick Israelites, it's because, listen, because you get a big promotion, that don't mean you celebrate in a restaurant that would not boil the garbage out of your meat. See, that's what we got to wake up. We got to wake up. Because we got to come back to these understandings of this Bible that you cannot just eat cherry to keep your health up. Your health is not going to be kept up unless you follow what the Bible tells to do. We just can't eat everything that the other nation put together. Because, like, for example, they got the taco restaurant, taco trucks, restaurants, and all that. Do you know how they, what the taco restaurant, oh, I love me some tacos. Taco Bell and Ring, all that kind of tacos, everything, right? But how do you, listen, when they make the taco, how do they make a taco? They take the ground beef, straight out of the package, wash it off, and beat it on the grill, right? Then put it between the taco meat and give it to you. See that? Isn't that against what y'all, the taco meat that you eat, boil the garbage out of the meat first. But we know that'll put a lot of out of business, but understand something. We not anti-anybody. We pro-Israel. When you go and order tacos, the beef in the tacos is right out of the package, beat on the grill. You'll tell them, well, beat it hard. I want you to beat it hard. You can't get the blood out of the taco meat by beating on the grill. You got to get it out the way Yahweh tell you to get out. Okay? It tell you in 8:31 how you get the blood out of your meat before you consume it. Read 8:31 again there, young lion. Read one more time.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 8, verse 31 reads, and Moses said unto Aaron and to his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of Israel, and there eat it with the bread, and that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it.
You see that? Then you, but listen, but he only gave you three types of meat to eat. If you eating tacos, he only gave you three types of meat to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't chicken, cow, and it wasn't hog. He gave you three types of meat to make your tacos out of after you boil it out. Now, he gave you three types of meat. Three. Look at a lot of they things. See, where's the three meats at? Leviticus 17, verse 2 there, young lion. He gave you three types of meat to make tacos out of. Three types of meat. So you got to figure out how to be ye righteous because he righteous. Three types of meat to make your tacos out of. Let's see what we got working with. We go on right here to particularly analyze the three meats that you got. What? Read verse 1 and 2. 17, 1 and 2, three types of meat. You're supposed to make your tacos out of. Let's see what we're working with. 17, 1, 2, and 3. And remember, we read the 11th chapter. This, he's talking to the children of Israel, the Israelites. So here go your three types of meat you're supposed to have a taco after you boil the flesh. And how do you boil the flesh again? We'll tell you again in the 24th chapter, 3:9 verse. Hold that point, young man. And you boil the flesh, what kind of way? In the 24th chapter, verse 3, how you boil the flesh. So, the three meats you get ready to read before you sit down and eat your taco. You got to boil the flesh, what kind of way? A seer will tell you in the 3rd chapter, 24th chapter, verse 3. Let's read down a little bit to get an answer there, young man. Pick up at verse number. Well, I don't know what I want to do. Three. Let me see. I don't want three. I think I want to do four. Four down to verse six.
Go to the book of Ezekiel to see it, chapter 24, verse 4 down to verse 6. Ezekiel the seer, chapter 24.
Hold on, young lion. You gonna put three in there. You gonna make a little meal out of verse three. And what we'll do, we're gonna pause for our elder. He came in the room, so we'll pause after this and we'll get back on it. But see, what it is, we got too many memos that saying, see what you pray for my auntie. See what you pray for my cousin. When you pray for my mother, when you pray for, listen. Yeah, I don't mind praying for those that sickly, but what we trying to tell you, we trying to show you now what we got to do now that we got this, what we have to do now. The time is right now for us to understand. Reason why we in this predicament, first of all, we're not spiritually connected with the mighty one. We think we connected with Lord God and Jesus and Jehovah. And that's not Israel, the Israelites, mighty one. They mighty ones, the four letters. And he told them in the 11th chapter, y'all lying, read it, 45 to 47. Listen, children of Israel, the Israelites, you be righteous because I am right. That's what he said. Can I tell you, make a difference for what you put in your mouth. Not only make a difference, know what you put in your mouth, and you can help your loved ones. They don't have to go through all these problems in their belly. All this bad health we got today. We can have Doc Cook hands taken off of us if we just follow what the rules and regulations of the Bible is. That's all that I do. You got to know who you are. I look what it says here in verse number 3 down to verse 6. Listen. What do you say, y'all, huh?
The book of Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 24, verse 3 down to verse 6. Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 24, verse 3, reads, and utter a parable unto the rebellious family, and said to them, thus said Yahweh, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Verse 4. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder, fill it with the choice bones. Verse 5. Take the choice of the flock and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them see it, the bones of it therein. Verse 6. Wherefore, thus said Yahweh, woe to the bloody city, to the pot, whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out peace by peace, oh, let fall upon it.
Mm-hmm. That's what we got to do. This is a parable. But it really is some good learning. When you have these three meats to get ready to read, and you're making your tacos out of these three meats, when you get these three meats, you have to set a pot upon it in verse 3 and pour water in it. Good. That water gets good and steaming. Then you add that meat into that three meats we're getting ready to read in Leviticus 17:1-2. And gather the choicest part of this beast that you're dealing with. And he said in verse 5, and how long you boil this meat, he says, you boil it well. I mean, you boil it where the point you get the garbage about the meat. You boil it where you take a fork and just stick it from the meat to the bone. That's how tender it is.
Mm-hmm.
Then the scum, you know, all that bloody stuff and scum and stuff in the pot, all that bloody stuff down there, you might have to rinse that out and do it again, because you want to get rid of all that blood and scum. Because if you don't get rid of that bloody and scum that's in that meat, guess what? It's going to be in you. It's going to clog your arteries up, and then you will have to go to the doctor and find out how can you unclog your arteries, because the stuff, the scum, and the blood have clogged you up, see? So now, and when you're making your taco, you got three types of meat to put taco. It's not cow taco, beef taco, and it's not hog. Here go your three meats you're supposed to have when you make your taco. After you're boiling well, here go your three meats in 17 chapter 1, 2, and 3. I mean 17, 1, 2, 8. Let's talk about it, young line. We just make it plain, then read the three meats two times, and we do it, and we bring our elders.
The book of Leviticus, chapter 17, verse 1, 2, and 3. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, the Israelites. It says to them, this is the thing which Yahweh had commanded, saying, verse 3, what man soever there be of the family of Israel, the Israelites, that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or they killed it out of the camp.
Mm-hmm. So what's the three meats that will be made in your taco before to consume after you on boil it well? What is the three meats that Yahweh commanded? Because back in them days you didn't have no local stores today, so when you want to eat some meat, you got to go out to your own little thing and pull the meat out, you know. So now, so what three meats that he required of children of Israel to eat? What's the name of them three meats again, there, young man?
Leviticus chapter 17, verse 3. What man soever there be of the family of Israel, the Israelites, that killeth an ox or a lamb, or goats.
That is your three meats to eat. That is your three meats that he gave you to eat. Them your three meats. Them your pride. Now, we understand that big fish coming up, but we'll tell you another lesson how to, you know, we know there's going to be a lot of things coming up Wednesday and Thursday. But we're telling you now, if certain things we got to know how to get it out of our system, you don't make no meal forever on things. But we know on feast days there's gonna be a lot of varieties of everything. But we understand. But we know how to purify ourselves after them feasts. Them, like next Wednesday and Thursday, it's a feast called Purim. You know, all that big feast coming up. Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday, and we gonna eat them up, drag them up, and talk about, you know, and give all glory to our mighty one. And then, you know, like Micaiah, what's his name, Mordecai, and Hamlet doctor called Esther, they stood in the gap for us to be today. They paid a big price, but Yahweh was with them then. And this is another feast that's been ordained to do, but, you know, they're not going to tell you about it in the world, because this is when this feast that you're going to do makes Wednesday and Thursday, this is when you got to lick it. So now they don't want you to celebrate when you got to lick it. They want you to celebrate when they got to lick it. You know, like Thanksgiving when they delivered you up real good. But all the days that they delivered you up on, then the days they want you to celebrate. How they, you know, done delivered you up. See? But you don't never want to celebrate when you deliver them up. See? Our mind got to change. We got to celebrate the coming of the Almighty One and when we got to lick him. See? So now we're saying now, if you make any tacos, you know, tacos specialize in it. Mexican, Puerto Ricans, and Peruvians, they specialize in making the best tacos. Yeah, I'm saying that, but all them names you got, Latinos, Mexican, Puerto Ricans, that's not your name either. But got to your people, which we are the same people, you got to get the garbage out of that meat first. So you got to spend more time boiling the garbage out of the meat, then making the tacos, then getting your truck and, you know, pulling the community and sailors. But make sure these three meats is available, because that's why they didn't give us to eat the other meat that caused us problems today. Chicken, cow, and hog. That's our problem today. If we leave that alone for 90 days, watch your body. You leave that, them three, at least I just said, alone for 90 days. Watch the difference in your health. 90 days. And exercise. Keep the blood clogged and not sticking in your body. Get on your ass up and bounce it up. And eat your green food. Leave them three meats alone for 90 days. Be surprised how you start breathing. You'd be surprised how healthy you'll be. You'd be surprised. But you got to try it first. 90 days. You know, the example was in Daniel chapter 1, verse 4 through 16. You know, the big dignitary told Daniel, look here. The king wants your mighty one that's real learned to come before him, but he wants you to get you fatten you all up real good. So we're going to bring some chicken, hog, and cow, and you stuff that in their mouth as far as you can get it to build them up. He said, listen, Big Dick and Jerry, now you know I've been giving favors. Why don't you let us eat the way we supposed to eat, us children of Israel? Pulse, which means fruits and vegetables, and come back 10 days and watch the difference between us eating the green food and then you feed the rest of them that chicken, hog, and cow. He said, I'll tell you what I do. I try you. I let some of you Israelites eat the king's meat, and I watch the one you got eating the fruits and vegetables, and I'm going to come back in 10 days and look at the difference between two. Then I make my decision on what decision I'm going to make. So when you read the first chapter, verse 4 through 16, they was a 10-day trial. And we look at the one that from the green food and didn't eat the king's meat. He said, God, dog, they look more fatter and planner and alive and everything. He said, I tell you what, you're right. Go ahead, Daniel. Let the people eat what they eat. And I just don't eat me a little of that too. See that? I'm telling you something. That's why the doctors today can tell you how long you get to live. They can tell you, oh, you know, you got about about another year or two at the most. You know why? Because you know what you're going to eat. You know you're going to be full of all that macaroni, spaghetti, mashed potatoes. You know you're going to be Coca-Cola, you know. You know you're hog head south. You know you're going to be full of all that. So I can tell you, you'll be gone in a couple of years at the most. Sometimes I give you 6 months to live something. But I tell you what, if you take them 6 months and put the king's knee down, you say, wait a minute. You ain't went nowhere yet? No. Well, I'm going to give you another 6 months. You keep eating the king's meat another 6 months. You ain't went nowhere yet? No, I ain't went nowhere yet. I'm getting stronger. God, dog, what you doing? I mean, what the Bible tells me, green food. I'm seeing the meat. If I eat any meat that got blood in it, I'm taking the blood out of it. And I'm eating all the pretty specific meat to get my stress all the way up. How did y'all know? You know what? I think I'm going to eat a little bit of this myself. See, that's what happened. I'll tell you something. I mean, we're here to help you. And we're not anti-anybody. We told 12 tribes of Israel that scattered. That's our mission. We're not connected with any other group. No group out in Islam or Israel or Esau. We're not connected with none of that. We're about one thing. Getting the 12 tribes of Israel that scattered back on their feet for the return of the Almighty. And it started by you keeping his law, statutes, commandments and the feast days that he got written in his Bible. When you start doing these things with him, you'd be surprised how your mind is steady and a little plainer. You won't be all over the place. You can tell by your eyes you'll be more stable if you start doing the Bible. That's the way the Bible is supposed to be. Popping the top. Don't bring our elder in, so meet our elder with our boss, Elder Mr. Till. And he's going to tell you all about the broadcast and everything that Almighty put on him to tell you. We're going to bring him in. So when you meet our elder, with our boss, you say, Elder Mr. Till Israel. Yahweh beat you that feed right.
And Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, the Seer Israel, on the room. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Elder. Well, we can tell you the fox tail half it, and the curtain half went up, and on the international side, over 9,000 plus is ready here from both just there in Yahweh, but we know our elder here to tell, put them on the table that is, we know it's worthy, so we're going to bag back and give them wherever we can, and take your time, Elder. Do your part. You on the clock. Come
on. Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. It's always a great pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And that's always a good thing, because we know many people have came to hear these things that most of us can hear. Some listening, they can never understand. But this is what we do at Yahweh's Ministry. We make all this misunderstanding very possible. We have many out there that came to see things in the Bible through what they see as proper teaching. Some looking can never find. These are the misinformed. They can do none of this thing. This is why the words of Yahweh to this taught makes all this and more possible for the righteous. And an example of that. That key word is the righteous, because if you're not right, you're not going to get Yahweh's word. He won't give it to you, as you hear the seer repeat quite often. He won't give you this word if you don't get yourself right. A good example, being among a bunch of preachers, and you hear them talking, you step in and you correct that which is not righteous. You know, we have to speak on that which is not right. Oh, well, you run into the point where they don't like it. But anyway, you're going to speak up for Yahweh's word. Because you know, when you hear something that sounds good, we're taught good. So we're taught to decipher what is right from wrong at Yahweh's Ministry. Stand up and be heard. Where'd you learn this stuff from? Oh, Yahweh's Ministry. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. This is the stuff that we're taught. We're given the knowledge to know. We have many out there that camouflage the evil teachings, overly loud bump-the-gums contests for righteous learning, and most of you find them in the Christian churches. Even taking that same Bible, using scriptures as verbal weapons for their own benefit against us that already know. We should remember the best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come so they can be taught the right way. Taught the things that you need to know in the voices of the true Israelite. Because you have to remember, it's the non-righteous job to lead you astray. That's what Satan the devil does. He teaches those guys really good. They're there to lead you astray. These are confused people with a serious misunderstanding. But we're here welcoming and thanking all of you for attending another live broadcast at the Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahweh's word. This is where we're questioned about quite often. Where can you guys, how do you guys get this much information from this one book? Well, as you're listening now, you get quite a bit from this one book. You learn how to connect the books, the words of Yahweh, your health, foods you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And this is what we're being taught right now. Should be taking notes. And this is what you all came to seek. And you have now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahdah. We're open unto you for this learning from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have. And that starts, the top part of it, is Friday. Rest time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. Now, to use this on any one of the search engines, right on that search line, in the tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just on the big line, you will see some choices. One of these choices is tithes and offerings. To use this, step one, click donate with PayPal. Step number two is to click send. Any of the amount that you wish to send with a message, which the space is provided for you, if you like. And if it's done, may Yahweh bless you. Because doing this, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now remember in this verse, as is quoted, this is what we give the donations for. Often is asked, where does it go? Well, it's goal to improve the ministry. And this is something that you give on faith because you donate what you see and don't see. As the Bible says, have faith in the unseen. You have to ask yourself, does Yahweh come down to collect them? Or had you forget? Yahweh with his word can create all. So this is the question that's remained. How is this done? We receive Yahweh's word you have given us through the protocol that we're taught. So in turn, we do nothing. Well, remember in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse number 9 and verse 10. 9 says, you are cursed with a curse when you have robbed me, even this whole nation. 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat at mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be enough room enough to receive. On this note, a man even asked me one day, a man of wisdom. He says, Elder Tibbs, do you know what tithes, offering, and alms mean? I scratched my head for a moment, trying to figure out how to answer that question. He says, well, if you can't, let me explain it. I'll give you some verses. He threw the verse of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 3. And 3 said, there can be no good to come to him that is always occupied in evil, nor to him that giveth no alms. I said, okay, let me take note on that. Oh, nope, I'm not through yet. He said, let me give you another one. Matthew, chapter 6. He says, let me give you a couple of verses in there. Read verses 1 and verse number 2. So I read verse 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. So verse number 2 says, therefore, when I do of alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or churches, and in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So after learning this, I remembered that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also, for this reason, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30. We're reminded once again what it says in verse 30. Verse 30 says, and all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or in the fruit of the trees, is the Yahweh's. It is righteous unto the Yahweh. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse number 9. 8 says, and here men that die receive tithes. There he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. 9. And as I may also say, Levi also received tithes and paid tithes to Aaron. This is why it is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh, and also for building the school to teach Yahweh's word with better teaching as we had described during our previous broadcast. A banquet hall for the gathering our members. Radio station where we can be heard worldwide. And land to grow the helpfulness we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Also, we also have a calendar to keep us in tune with the feast days. Since we're talking about this food, it's a good thing to see what we do on the feast days, reminded and on this calendar throughout the year. We also have a live program, which is available during our broadcast time. And to get there, in the three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after clicking it, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Scribe of Yahweh. When you click that red live button, it'll put you right into a live online broadcast. Now, we also have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. Now, this is our international number where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone in the 69 accounts of Yahweh's ministry. Now, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, we'll just hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, you can call this number and order the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. You might imagine he's usually pretty busy with the WCC. The New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen. Even now, in addition to that, for Latter-day Saints. And that's besides setting up our broadcast line before broadcast time. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Unless you call trying to teach, as I said, you'll only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. The program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, in the three words on the search line this time, Yahweh Radio Live. When you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh. At that point, just choose the program that you relate logging into or any previous day on the list that you would like to listen. And also, during a normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Teletalk, which can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, or computer, even nowadays your smartwatch. Just make sure you've got the Teletalk app. We will be listed under African American. Well, let me repeat that. We will be listed under ethnic group. Then look for African American. You'll find Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh. Our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, or Yahweh's word, can be working for your Bible education. And online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discuss during our broadcast will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic, any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Block Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Teletalk. God will be with you all. So we can start to listen to these things we talk about. We'll pass our program back to our CA Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahweh.
All right, Dale, that was excellent again. Everybody do their part, and you keep on putting the part together, it'll come to a whole. That's what it's all about. All we got to do is do our part. You know that not I got mine, and like, Big Dane Brown said, and I got mine, and he got his. No, it don't work like that. Build a nation, we got to put our parts together and come up with a. So now I'm going to touch on a couple more on this, because like I said again, we got too many sickly people in the family of Israel, and we're trying to let you know that it's plainly, hey, you know, give me, Leviticus chapter 17, 10 through 12. But the reason why we're harping on this, young line, in the book called Sirach, 10:1. Why is we really pushing the envelope on what we're trying to tell you? What is saying throughout 10:1 and give me 37:21 down to verse 23 and 26? 37:21 to 23 and 26 there, you know what I'm saying? Then he'll have me that Leviticus 17:10 down to verse 16. Then we're going to take a look at a couple of things.
10 and 15?
Take a look at a couple of things. Let's see what we got going on there, young line. Let's see what we're talking about. And whatever we have said, we don't say it now, so come on.
The book of Sirach, you see it. Chapter 10, verse 1. And then Sirach, chapter 37, 21 to 23 and 26. Sirach is here, chapter 10, verse 1 reads, "And why Seer would instruct his people in the covenant of a prudent man is well ordered."
A wise seer's duty is to instruct his people. The people is the 12 tribes of Israel. I'm not anti-anybody. I'm just pro 12 tribes of Israel. But a wise seer will instruct his people, because we're getting too many memos in, too many calls in about pray, because now I got to go and get so much stuff removed out of my body and all that. Because the clogged up, you have took a toll on your inside of your body, and your kidneys will fail on you. If you don't drink enough water, your kidneys will fall on you, fail on you. They get all clogged up. When you eat all that spaghetti and beans and rice, and you know, and once you come, you're not burning it off. So what it do? It just takes all to your kidneys and liver, and you be all clogged up, and you got all type of arthritis, all, and you can't move. Yeah, that's what it is. If you put that down, put the king's knee down just long enough to start seeing the difference, you better help yourself and others come in contact with you. What's the reading
there, y'all? Sirach, the seer, chapter 37, 21 to 23 and 26. Sirach, the seer, chapter 37, verse 21 reads, "For grace is not given him from Yahuwah, because he is deprived of all wisdom." Verse 22, "Another is wise to himself, and the fruits of understanding are commendable in his mouth." Verse 23, "A wise seer instructs his people, and the fruits of his understanding fail not." Verse 26, "A wise seer shall inherit honor among his people, and his name shall be perpetual."
Why is Peter going to instruct his people? Because we want to see you stand tall. So we got a lot of things that we want to see you stand tall in. Like we know by what's written in 4:17 there, young line of Romans. So we know if Romans 4:17 is on the table, then it's going to come to pass. What is it in Romans 4:17?
Going to the book of Romans. Chapter 4, verse 17, reads, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even Yahuwah, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were."
Mm-hmm. So you got to call in an example. We call it now, it's getting loud and loud and louder. On a big piece of land, school, banquet hall, radio station. And we know it's going to happen big time. So you got to put it out there. And Yahuwah wants them put out there in the proper order. That activates them angels to say, hey, they're talking about land, school, banquet hall, and radio station to help the elderly understand before they get up out of here and they want to come up out of the Bible. Exactly how to position yourself in this world until you come. And that's a great thing. So these things can come to pass, no doubt about it. So now, Elder, before you read that 17th chapter, Elder, 10 through 16, I'll read 7:26 first, Elder. Leviticus 7:26. What do it say that we can read in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 26? Then slide right on down to 17 chapters, 10 through 16. Come on, Elder.
Okay, Leviticus chapter 7, verse number 6.
26.
Chapter 7, verse number 26. 26 says, "Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings." Going to chapter 17, 10 to verse number 16. 10 says, we're in Leviticus chapter 17, reading 10 to 16. 10 says, "And whatsoever man there be of the family of Israel, or the strangers that sojourneth among you, that may eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. 12. Therefore I said unto the family of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. 13. And whatsoever man there be of family of Israel, or the stranger that sojourneth among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. 14. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is in the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the family of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of the flesh is in the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it, it shall be cut off. 15. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until even then it shall be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear its sin."
Yeah. So now, how many children of Israel, how many restaurants have you went to, fast food joints that you order, put up in your car, give me the double hamburger and the order fries. See? How many restaurants have you going and give me a burger in there? Now, listen, he told the children of Israel, listen, the meat you're supposed to eat and the meat you don't supposed to eat. But how many restaurants you ever went into, they tell you before they say this meat, they'll already see the scum and the blood out there meat. How many restaurants do that? Not one. Yep. So that's why our health all us, and that's why it can dictate to us how long we're gonna live. Because they know if you're violating these scriptures, you ain't going to be around long as you should be anyway by violating these scriptures. Mother, you get what, see? Once he heard the elder deliver the knockout, well, he said, that's good enough for him. Once he heard our elder, that's all I need to hear our elder. I'll make a couple of statements, and once he made a statement, I'm going back to watch Ren 10-10 and Elliot Ness. See? understand these things. The teaching that we try to bring to the children of Israel, surely it's going to put things in perspective, but it's going to put your health in perspective too. Sooner or later, we got to stop catering to things that's contrary to this Bible and think we'll get the blessing in this Bible unless we start doing the Bible. See? So, you know, you go in there and order three hamburgers. You know them hamburgers, the hamburgers were done. Beat on the grill, hard as they can on the grill. They'll beat on the grill. And then next thing you know, you sit there eating the hamburger with french fries, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. And you go back and ask whoever prepared the hamburger, was that dropped off? Did you take the blood and scum out of it before you, huh? No. It comes already in the box. You take it and put it on the grill. Repeat it. Boom, 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 boom. Repeat it. You know? But the Bible tells us, the children of Israel, you got to get the scum and blood out that meat before we eat it. Oh, no, we don't do that. No, you got to, you know. No, we don't prep the meat before you get it. When you come in, put it in the freezer, pull it out and throw it on the grill. That's it. So you see why we stopped up today? It is a damn. It tell me why you stopped up. Now, okay, that's enough of that shit. It's on his feet now, young man. So now Paul, in the 18th chapter, let's see what Paul says that he got to do. Although he was a great teacher, he was over in Europe. What does Paul say in Acts chapter 18, verse 19 to 20? Let's see what he says. And 19 on verse 21. Let's see what Paul says in Acts chapter 18, 19 on verse 21. Apostle Paul, the Benjamite, the Israelite. What do you say in the 18th chapter, verse 19 on verse 21? What do you say there, young man?
The book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 19 to 21. Acts chapter 18, verse 19. Read. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but himself entered to the temple and reasoned with Yada Judas, son of the king. Verse 20, and they desired him to tarry longer time with them. He consented not. Verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh to the Yada Judah. But I return again unto you, if Yahweh will. And he saluted, greeted from Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
He sailed from Ephesus.
Mm-hmm. So he said, I bid them farewell. He said, by all means, I got to keep the peace. See, any peace, regardless of the name of it is, if it's a feast day, it is a feast day. He said, by all means, I got to get back and keep the feast. I'm going to come back and teach again, but I got to stop what I'm doing and keep the feast. Now, in 2 Ezra, 2 Maccabees, got a line. Let's see what was said in 2 Maccabees 10, 1 down to verse 6. Let's see what we got in 2 Maccabees chapter 10. Verse 1 down to verse number 6. Let's see what we can read. 2 Maccabees 10, 1 down to verse 6. What does it say?
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 10, verse 1 down to verse 6. 2 Maccabees, chapter 10, verse 1. Now Maccabees and his company, Yahweh guided them, recovering the temple and the city. Verse 2. But the altars with the heathen, nation of Esau and his five sons, Amalek had built in the open street, and also the chapels they pulled down. Verse 3, and having cleared the temple, they made another altar, and striking stones, they took fire out of them, and offered a sacrifice after 2 years. and set forth incense and lights and shewbread. Verse 4. When that was done, they fell flat down and besought Yahuwah that they might come no more into such troubles. But if they sinned any more against them, that he himself would chastise them with mercy, and that they might not be delivered unto the blasphemous and barbarous nations. Verse 5. Now upon the same day that the strangers, nation of Esau's five sons, Amalek profaned the temple, on the very same day, it was cleansed again, either 5 and 20th day of the same month, which is casually December. Verse 6. And they kept 8 days with gladness, as in the feast of the tabernacles. Remember that no long before they held the feast of tabernacles, but as they wandered in the mountains and dens like beasts.
What feast they kept as tabernacles? What was the name of this feast today, young lion? Let's see, can we read what feast that they kept it as tabernacles? Let's find out what feast is this by backing up to 446. Let's find out what feast is this they kept it just like it was tabernacles. We're going to find out what feast is this that they kept just like it was tabernacles. Let's see what's going on in 446 of the book called First Book of Maccabees, 446.
First Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46, reads, and laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them.
Mm-hmm. So they got things in order, and the reason they got things in order, can you come back to that 10th chapter, read verse 1, again, 10:1, put a marker there, young man, come back here. They got things in order, but let's see, they got things in order, 2 Maccabees 10:1, let's see who Big Hand had them to get things in order in 2 Maccabees 10, verse 1.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 10, verse 1. Now Maccabees and his company, the Yahuwah, guided them, recovered the temple and the city.
Also, Yahuwah's hand is in this thing. So Almighty's hand is in this thing. Now I need a precept on that, Elder. Hey, yo, I need a precept on that. And the book of Luke 24, verse 32. I need a precept on that. And verse 45. I need a precept on that, Elder. Say, Yahuwah's hand was in it. So Yahuwah's hand, see, on these feast days he got on the table, it's really, remember, he put the thought in man to make this. Remember, Yahuwah said, we just read, Yahuwah's hand was in it. So when it came up with the idea to do something, we already clear that was Yahuwah working it out anyway. So in the 24th chapter, Elder, Mr. Steele, what it says we can read in 24, verse 32 of Luke. Luke, chapter 24, verse 32 says what?
Chapter 24, reading verse 32. Mm-hmm. 32 says, and they said to one another, did not our mind burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
You see, so that's what we try to do, open up the scriptures, to see why we in a condition and we are, and we started waiting on that television, that one out of Satan tell us what we're supposed to do. It's written already in the Bible, we're supposed to be doing. That's without help. So skip down to verse 44 and 45 there, yo. Let's see what he's talking about, so we're going to tie it in a minute. Verse 44 and 45. Luke 24, 44 and 45, let's say there, yo.
So, Luke 24, reading 44 and 45. 44 says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the seers, and in the Psalms concerning me." 45. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures."
So we got to make them understand the scriptures. We got to let them know what's written on the left side of the book. It ain't done away with. It's why I learned. You're not reading Romans 15, verse 4, or 1 Corinthians 10, 11. It ain't written for our learning. So we got to find out what we got to do to please this man before he can, you know, stop having these nations keep on beating our back like it. You know, we get our back beat every time we pay any kind of bill on land that was once with the 10 Northern Tribes. Any bill we pay, you're getting your back beat, because how could somebody take your land and charge you for your land? The land belongs to the 10 Northern Tribes of Israel.
Okay?
No. So, in 1 Maccabees, young lines, particularly around my verse 50, remember, this feast, we get this final name on this feast is coming up Wednesday night and Thursday night. It's a feast coming up Wednesday and Thursday night. Remember, he said, you do this feast as you do any other feast. He compared these feasts to tabernacle feasts. So regardless of what the name of it is, we just found out that Yahweh's hand in it. Remember, make it plain what Yahweh do in 16, verse 1 of Proverbs and 21, 2.
Yahweh.
Understand the hand of Yahweh. Hey, Mr. Till, how do he operate in the book called Proverbs 16, verse 1, and Proverbs 21, verse 2? Hey, how do he operate? Come on.
In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, reading verse number 1 and skipping to 21, verse number 2. 16, verse 1 says, "The preparations of the mind in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Yahuwah." Chapter 21, verse number 2. Who says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Yahuwah pondereth."
They didn't really come up with nothing that Yahuwah didn't put in their mind to do so. So the speeches that come up Wednesday and Thursday, it wasn't they did some wise plan. No. Yahuwah put it in their mind to say they say, and then Yahuwah guided them to. And that's why he came in St. John and fulfilled the part of coming to that same feast to be able to read. No, Yahuwah, he promised the mind. He had you say things. A lot of times he had you say things that you wish you could have held back. No, he'll make you say that too. So the Almighty make you say things and do things up under his will. You got to understand that thing. Sometimes your thoughts, that's why you got to make sure your thoughts is right. Because Yahuwah, he have you all over the place, or he'll send you out. Mm-hmm. Come out of this feast, come up Wednesday and Thursday. Although they sit around talking about it, but Yahuwah has already put in their mind to make this thing happen. Peter verse 50 and found what's the name of the feast. Remember, all the feast days, it's considered the same. So the feast is going to read a little bit in the ninth chapter later on. Let's find out something in verse 50. What's the name of the feast? 1 Maccabees 4, verse 50. Read a little bit, young man. Come on.
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 50, and read down. 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 50. And upon the altar, they burn incense, and the lamp, they're upon the candlestick, they lighten, that they might give light in the temple. Verse 51. Furthermore, they set the loaves upon the table, and spread out the veils, and finished all the works which they had begun to make. Verse 52. And now on the 5th and 20th day of the 9th month, which is called the month Kazu, December, in the 148th year, they rose up betimes in the morning. Verse 53. And offered sacrifice according to the law upon the new altar of burnt offerings which they had made. Verse 54. Look at what time and what day the heathen nation of Esau's five sons, Amalek, had profaned. Even it that was it dedicated with soul and cisterns and hearts and cymbals. 55. And all the people fell upon their faces, worshiping and praising Yahweh of heaven, who has given them good success. Verse 56. And so they kept the dedication of the altar 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness and sacrifice of deliverance and praise. Verse 56.
Let me ask you another right now. You know, I might try to read a little bit more later. But see, so they kept that. They kept the feast of dedication, just like if you kept tabernacle. So that means when the Yahweh put in your mind about certain feast days, now that will be the. You gotta understand something. How Yahweh speaks. How do Yahweh speak in Luke 1 verse 7? Can you help the national audience? How did the Almighty speak in 1 verse 7 of Luke? How did he speak? And Young Lion, have me the 9th chapter of the book called Esther. You can look at and pick around like verse number 9-1. So how do Yahweh speak there? Hell, I mean, we got something to say. Luke 1 verse 7.
In the book of Luke, chapter 1, reading verse number 7, says, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was...
Make it 7-0, Elder. 7-0.
Luke, chapter 1, verse number 70. Make a note correction also. Verse 70 says, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous seers, which have been since the world began.
So when Yahweh got something to say, he speak by his seer. That's one of the greatest mysteries and understanding. Anytime the Almighty got something to say of his seer. Now look at that day, Saint Saint. Seer, is it a precept on that? Yeah, he has precept on that. Hey, I'll back up to 2 Ezra 6:32. Let's get a Latter-day Saint out of Utah, a precept. See, when he got something to say, the first one he's going to tell about his business is the seer. That's what he's going to tell first. 2 Ezra 6:32, let's get a Latter-day Saint committee born out of Utah, a precept. 2 Ezra 6:32 says what?
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 6, reading verse 32 says, for thy voice is heard before the Most High, for the mighty had seen thy righteous dwelling. He had seen also thy chastity, which thou hast had ever since thy youth.
That means his virtue. That means he wasn't polluted with anything but the Yahweh's bidding. The angel told fear. What did he say again, Hill? That was a big verse you just read, Hill. What did the angel tell the fear in 632? Read that again, Hill.
Okay. Verse 32 says, "For thine voice is heard before the Most High. For the mighty have seen thy righteous dwellings. He had seen also thy chastity, which thou hast had ever since thy youth."
And that means your virtue. Chastity means your virtue. He said, "Ezra, let me tell you something. You know why I'm here? For Yahweh has been watching you all the time, ever since you're you. And he hear you. All you got to do is grunt. He hear you quick. Now, but he also hears somebody else in 1 Samuel 7:9, in 1 Samuel 7:9, see, one of the greatest mysteries in teaching the Bible, understand how Yahweh operates. And that's why you got so much stuff going on. That's why we're in bad shape today. So we don't know the order of things. Now, but we're reading the order now. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 7:9. 1 Samuel 7:9.
In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 7, reading verse number 9. 9 says, "And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Yahweh. And Samuel cried unto the Yahweh for Israel, and the Yahweh heard him."
And Yahweh what?
He heard him.
And Yahweh heard it. See that? So, and a precept chapter 4:7 in 1 Samuel, Sirach 4:7. So you see, the seer prayed to Yahweh. And Yahweh heard him. But listen what another seer says about this in 4:7. Hey, what it say in 4:7? Sirach 4:7, what it say?
In the book of Sirach, going in chapter 4, reading verse number 7. 7 says, "Get thyself the love of the congregation and bow thy head to a great man."
Not bad in verse 6.
Back up to verse 6. 6 says, "For if he curse thee in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him."
Yeah. So if the seer, just say, look at this. This person right here just ain't doing right. And Yahweh going to do what else, according to verse 6? Yahweh going to do according to verse 6?
Verse 6 says, "For if he thirsty in the bitterness of his soul, his prayer shall be heard of him that made him."
So Yahweh is going to hear. So we got to understand this thing. He got all about how he operates. And remember one thing, whatever these people are doing in the Bible, they do it because the Almighty have put it in their mind to do these things. It's like he put in the mind of the wicked one to do what he do. And he put in the mind of everybody else to counterbalance these things. So in the book of Esther, matter of fact, give me the red book of Esther there, young man. $1:13. I want to take a look at something and show you that the Almighty's hand and whatever it is done, he has his hand in it. He'll put your mind up right if you do right. So in that red book called Apocrypha was the book that was removed from us from the 1800s to the present. Now we can read some things that a lot of us don't read, but in the book of Esther, chapter 10, verse 1 through 13, what's there, young lion?
The book of Esther, in the red book, chapter 10, verse 4 down to verse 13. Esther, chapter 10, verse 4. Then Maccabees said.
Hey, young lion, you might as well read verse 1. You can make a little meal out of it. You got plenty of time. Pick up at verse 1. Let's get this man's name on the table and see what's going on, really. And 1 down in verse 13. What did it say? What did it say, young lion?
Okay. I think it starts at verse 4.
Read verse 1 and pause on verse 1. Let me comment on verse 1. Verse 1. 10, verse 1, and let me talk about verse 1 for a minute.
As to chapter 10. All right, pick up at verse 1. And it reads, Dead Macedonius said, Yahweh have done these things.
That's Mordecai. That's just the Greek word.
Mordecai.
Greek word saying Mordecai. So Mordecai is saying, Yahweh have done these things. So he clear that what was put in his mind to come up with what him and his niece, daughter, niece, came out their mouth. So he clear that wasn't him. That was Yahweh speaking through him. Letting you know right now, that was Yahweh speaking through me and speaking through my daughter, my niece, on what she did for her part. So we was really a vessel. Like we are a vessel trying to tell the 12 tribes of Israel, it's time to wake up and put your health back together and stop defiling yourself from inside out. It's time to stop it. You know, because you ain't got to be off of all this pain and all this medication. You ain't got to go out there like that. So Yahweh's hand is in this thing, a four-letter man. Now let's see what he says now in the next verse.
All right, verse 5. After chapter 10, verse 5. For I remember a dream which I saw concerning these matters, and nothing thereof had failed. Verse 6, and little fountain became a river, and there was light and the sun, and much water. This river is Esther, who the king married and made queen. Verse 7, and the two dragons are I and Haman. Verse 8.
Hold that point right there, young man. I gotta take a little precept on that. So he said these two dragons is I and Haman. He said these two dragons. Let me just say these two dragons is I and Haman. Now, who's these two dragons? Earlier in Genesis 25 and 26. Who are these two dragons? Is when you put a name on I and Haman. Who are these two dragons there, Elder? By going to Genesis 25, verse 25 and 26, let's find who these two dragons is. These two dragons is I and Haman. Who are we talking about, Elder? Genesis 25, 25 and 26.
In the book of Genesis, reading chapter 25, verses 25 and verse 26. 25 says, and the first came out red all over, like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was therefore 80 years old when she bare them.
Mm-hmm. So the I is Jacob. And Haman is Esau. So that is the two dragons. And that's one of the greatest mysteries in this Bible. That was his Bible all about. Esau and Jacob.
Hallelujah.
He called Elam, in 2 Ezra 6, verse 9, Elam, the seer, since he was Cassidy, and Yahweh say, I always have heard you. So I want you to put something in the Bible about the two dragons. And 6, verse 9, put something in the Bible about the two dragons. 6, verse 9. 2 Ezra 6, verse 9. Hey, Elam, let's talk about the two dragons. What he got that we can read about the two dragons in 6, verse 9?
2 Ezra, chapter 6, reading verse 9. 9 says, for Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning of that that followeth.
You see that? So you see, this fight is all about Elam. It's all about when Esau comes to an end, Jacob steps up to the plate. Jacob is the child of Israel, the Israelite state. See, when the Israelites wake up all over the world, guess what? That'd be the end of Esau. Now, little Roman Catholic Church, here, you got to give me a precept on that. Well, give me Obadiah chapter 1, Elder, verse 1 and 18. Let's see, can we precept that? And we might be saying that another young lion coming in, or Sister Sarah, we'll find out shortly. We'll find out who this is coming on stage in a minute, but we're going to get a Roman Catholic Church out of New York, Timothy Dolan, committee board, a precept on what we just saying, that when Israel, the Israelites wake up, then Esau and his five sons must understand prophecy is going to say. Let's see what prophecy says in Obadiah Elder, chapter 1, verse 1 and 18. What it say, we can read in 1, verse 1 and 18. What it say?
Obadiah, looking at chapter 1, reading verse 1 and verse 18. 1 says, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Yahuwah concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Yahuwah, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen nation. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Verse number 18 says, and the family of Jacob, Israel, shall be a fire on the house of Joseph, a flame, and a house of Esau of stubble, and they shall kindle them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the family of Esau, for the Yahuwah had spoken it.
Now, hell, who said it's going to be no more a rulership of Esau? Who said that? Who said that? Told him the seer Obadiah. When it's all said and done, Esau and his five sons would not be in rulership once Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, wake up and start keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. Who said that? And who was talking? Who got the last saying in that verse 18? Who said that, Elder? There'll be no more.
It says Yahuwah had spoken it.
That was it. So
Yahuwah had spoken.
Yahuwah has spoken. Now, hey, what do Yahuwah do in the 46th chapter, verse 9 and 10 about this? Let's talk about his power. Then we're going to find out if this Sister Sarah are coming to harden that microphone. And we'll find out shortly. But let's find out the power of Yahuwah out of the mouth of the seer. He's going to tell the seer something in 700 B.C. about his power. In the 46th chapter, verse 9 and 10, what do we say there that we can read there?
What book?
Isaiah the seer.
46th Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, Ab.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, reading verses 9 and verse number 10. 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me. 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
So, according to what we're reading there, he can make that statement about who's going to come rise to the top and who's going to fall. Because you just read that he called it in from the beginning, so he already knows how this thing going to unfold itself. That's what we read about. He promised the mind and people be making statements, and they don't know that Yahweh is making you make them statements. So it's no accident that that's what's going on, because once the children of Israel, the Israelites, finally wake up and come in and get in their position, automatically things start coming down, because you're not going to be participating in things that you see as contrary to Yahweh. So automatically, it's going to, remember, you've been a golden cup. 17 nations hands long enough now. See it? I mean, see, Roy, you've been a golden cup. Everybody don't topple off your back. Now it's time for you to wake up. And how you wake up is start keeping these laws, and commandments, these feast days the way it got written. And once you start doing that, you're going to stop doing things that you that you don't like. And guess what? Remember, their whole artillery is built upon keeping you with your back beat. That's how you got all types of this, that. Everything is built on keeping, it's keeping you where you are today, and everybody talks off your business. But once you wake up and understand who you really are and what you're supposed to be doing, guess what? You ain't got to picket, boycott, march, to do nothing. All you got to do is turn back to your Bible, and it's over. So that's why I said, once you wake up, Esau is the end of the world, and you is the beginning of it. Once you wake up, once you understand, and now, give me a precept on that, Titus, give me that Thomas verse 3. Give me a precept. See, listen, we call this broadcast for one reason, to wake you up. And we're not trying to tell you anything. We're trying to show you why we're in the position we're in and how to get out of it. And it's not about picking this boycotting and margin and following the other nations. It's about returning back to this Bible on what he's trying to tell you. It starts by you keeping laws, statutes, and commandments and these feast days. Because in them feast days, you'll get a message out of it. But if you don't keep it, you don't want to put in the mind of what Mordecai going to say shortly. And not only that, then he told Thomas something before he went back to heaven. You look Thomas eyeball to eyeball in verse 3 and told him something. Hey, young lion, what are you telling him in Thomas verse 3? What are you telling him?
The gospel, the book of Thomas, verse 3 reads, Yahweh the Son said, if those who lead you say to you, lo, the kingdom is in heaven, the birds of heaven will precede you. If they say to you, it is in the sea, then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is within you and outside you. When you know yourselves, then you will be known, and you will know that you are the sons and daughters of the living Father. But if you do not know yourselves, then you are in poverty, and you yourselves are the poverty.
Is the one, see, you're not going to be known until you know yourself. See, as long as you think you are African-American and Negro and colored and super cone, you're not never know yourself. Because it's no blessing for African American and Negro in the Bible. But once you understand you are Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, out of 1 to 12 tribes, and you start applying yourself according to the Bible, that's when you'll be known. Or you'll remain in poverty, although you might have your $10. You might be able to buy you the biggest home in like the Hollywood do today. But I'll tell you one thing, all them big houses they got, what they got to pay twice a year, taxes on them. And when they mix paying them taxes, they'll put them luxury mansions out everywhere. All the singles, all the stars got luxury mansions, right? They got a title in their drawer, too. But guess what? They have never owned the land that is built on. They always got to pay property taxes twice a year. And when they mess around and crap out and them grandbabies take over, they'll forget to pay them taxes, and the money going to run dry, and what's going to happen to that property? It goes right back to surrender. After you're tied in your job. See that? Never own anything as long as Esau is 5 songs running. Because you got all freedom twice a year on whatever you got. You got to pay taxes on your ultimate deal. You got to pay taxes on everything that you have put together on the return of Yahweh. See that? So don't think because you have tied in your hand, you're all good. You ain't all good until you return back to Yahweh. You can never get even with this man. Because if you get even win by paying your mortgage off and got your tied in your draw, just forget to pay taxes, property taxes for 3 years. Watch somebody done bought your taxes and tell you, you got to go. So, we tell you, your only way out, the children of Israel, Israelites, must return back to Yahweh. You're going to Yahweh to intervene. You're going to find out who this right here is. It's the Pharaoh coming on the stage or his big high-end microphone. We're going to find out. So, when you meet Sarah Israel, one of the sisters out of Camp 1, Yahweh be to that scene right. I don't hear nothing. At WCC, I don't hear nothing. So, I don't hear nothing. But, Sarah, so when I do hear whoever that's behind, just say, hallelujah, Yahweh, and we'll get back. And we'll incorporate you in to take number 20.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh, Sarah. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Sarah. Well, get a couple of verses up in real quick and see if we are going to get on just a couple of verses in. Sarah, what do we say in 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 26 down to verse 28? Let's see what it said there, Sarah. 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 26, 28. No, take them down to verse 33. Take them down. My verse I want is 33. That's what I really want. So, but 2 Ezra 26 down to verse 33. Sarah, and let's have you on tape 20 in grand style. Come on.
Going to the book of 2 Ezra chapter 14. Reading verses 26 through 33. Verse 26 reads, and when thou hast done things, shall thou show secretly to the wise. Tomorrow, this hour, shall thou begin to write. 27. Then went I forth as he commanded, and gathered all the people together, and said, 28. Hear these words, O Israel. 29. Our fathers at the beginning were strangers in Egypt from whence they were delivered. 30. and received the law of life, which they kept not, which you also have transgressed after them. 31. Then was the land, even the land of Sion, parted among you by lot. But your fathers and you yourselves have done unrighteousness and have not kept the ways which the highest commanded you. 32. And for as much as he is a righteous judge, he took from you in time the things that he had given you. 33. And now are you here, and your brother among you.
See, by you not keeping law, statutes, and commandments, what it say again in verse 33 there, sir? That was excellent. That was excellent. What did it say in verse 33?
33. And now are you here, and your brother among you.
See that? And now you here. Well, in chapter. So, this is not the baptism. It's not what you get, you know. Bring you in captivity is you didn't keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. And that's why we're here. Reason why we're here today is because we failed to keep what we agreed to keep, law, statutes, and commandments. Sir, give me a precept on that. Give me the 5th chapter, verse 1, 29-31. Give me a precept on this. Deuteronomy 5:1-29-31. Children of Israel, children of the book, the Israelites, two tribes. Yeah. The reason you ain't, it's not that no nation is calling you, not so. The reason you ain't captivity today and you all over the place in the world, because you haven't kept the law, statutes, and commandments. And that's why you've been scattered today. All we keep is the king, law, and his statutes, and his commandments. King. That's why we pull that starch food. You got high blood pressure, sugar diabetes, cancer cells, got all these problems in our bodies. Because we refuse to eat according to the Bible for the children of Israel. That's why we're here. That's why we in captivity. That's why we sickly, very sickly too. Doc Cook is eating loving every minute of them. That's why we here. Right? So now, daughter is going to read a verse in Deuteronomy 5:1-29-31. It was given back with a young line. Well, it says in Deuteronomy 5:1. Then skip down to 29-31 there. So there, precept, come on.
You go on to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, reading verse 1, 29-31. Verse 1 read, And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. 29. Oh, that there was such a mind in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with the children forever. 30. So say to them, get you into your tents again. 31. But as for you, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto you all the commandments, in the statutes and the judgments, which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land, which I give them to possess it.
Yeah. So these statutes, laws, and commandments is to be taught and to do them. He said, all it is a mind in them to hear what I'm saying. It'll go well with you. Now, you know we ain't got no sign of as a nation is no that word called well. So, you know, all we know about our forefathers and mothers got their back beat. Huh? That's all we know about, they got their back beat. He said, if they keep my laws, statutes, and commandments, Moses, and you pass it on to Joshua, and he'll get on down to the spirit today. That's what we come and tell you. The reason why we're in captivity today, because we do not keep the law, statutes, and the commandments. We might have a retirement check coming in. We might have a title of our house in the drawer. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't pay them property taxes twice a year. After 3 years, they can say, they're going to come out and knock windows, hey, I bought your house for taxes. See that? You see that? So you cannot never get even with him, but you can get well doing with God. Well, you'll never get even with this man. He wasn't created for you to get even. This man was created for one reason. And they all read it. Matter of fact, so Sarah, you might read just to, you know, because Yahweh said read it. Let's look what it says in verse 19 down to verse 21 in 9th chapter 1. See, you got to understand something. This is Yahweh doing his marvelous in our eyesight. But you got to understand what this Bible is saying. Everybody have a purpose to play, and you have a purpose to play, too. All the nation got a purpose to play, too. Now, Sister Sarah is going to bring it out in Romans chapter 9, verse 18 down to verse 22. Now, listen to what Sister Sarah brings out. Just take note. And all you folks say is 118, 23, or 4. This is Yahweh doing, and it's marvelous in my eyesight. You can never get even with this man. He's not going to allow you to get even with this man. Because remember, property taxes is due twice a year, right? Forget to pay property taxes 3 years. Tighten the jaw, what's going to happen to you? Right? So in Romans, there, Sister Sarah, the 9th chapter, verse 18, down verse 22, just go ahead and deliver the knockout blow, and we'll get on back to this speech. Come on.
Going to the book of Romans, chapter 9, reading verse 18 down to 22. 18 read, therefore have he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have hardened. 19, thou wilt say then unto me, why do he yet find fault for who have resisted his will? 20, nay but, O man, who art thou that replieth against Yahweh? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? 21. Have not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? 22. What if Yahweh, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
So you see what the Bible says. Paul is telling the Israelites that's in Rome, he made one vessel for honor. That means they have an opportunity to repent and come back. And he made another vessel for destruction. Fitted for destruction. Caleb made for destruction. He made them for the beast. And all you folks saying in 118, 2 or 3, this is Yahweh doing. It's marvelous. Listen, you can't change the flight of Yahweh. So read that. And let me get back to this speech coming up. Read that. In the 10th chapter, verse 22 of the book of 1 Corinthians. 10:22. Listen, are you a 10:22 of 1 Corinthians? Are you? We'll find out. Moses Sarah.
Going to the book of 1 Corinthians, reading chapter 10, verse 22. Verse 22 read, do we provoke the Yahweh to jealousy? Are we stronger than he?
Are we? Are you? Are you stronger than he? You think you can counter the course of the river with your hands? No. You're not stronger than him. beginning. That's what I'm calling in from the beginning. Create one people for honor and one people for dishonor. And we read what Young Lion is reading about. It's two dragons. I'm one dragon and Haman one dragon. So, Sarah, give me that one verse in 11:23 of the book of Numbers. See, once we understand the Bible is telling us all we need to know, and all we got to do is make adjustments according to the Bible, and guess what? You'll sleep better. You understand what's really going on. And you ain't got to worry about watching that one eye say at 10 o'clock, see what's going on. You already know what's going on in the Bible. You know, if you ever wake up, the world that is known to be that's in power will have to bag up once you wake up. Because you're going to stop doing the things that keep their pockets greed. You'll stop doing things to keep their pockets greed. Verse 23, 11:23, so Sarah, what it say? A number.
Going to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 23 reads, and the Yahuwah said unto Moses, is the Yahuwah's hand waxed short? See now whether my words shall come to pass unto you or not.
Now that's called Big Britain talk. He said, the way I got it written, the way I'm told it, let's see what anything alterate what he's saying. Let's get back, Young Lion. Back to these two dragons. So now we know who these two dragons is now. One is Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. The other dragon is Esau and his five sons, translated they as the white man and the white woman. We understand this in verse 7. So now we have decoded verse 7. What does it say in verse 8? Verse 8, then y'all.
All right, going back to the rest of the Esther, chapter 10, verse 8. The rest of Esther. Going to the book of rest of Esther, chapter 10, verse 8. Esther, chapter 10, verse 8. And the nation were those that were assembled to destroy the name of Yahdah Judah. Verse 9. And my nation is this, Israel, which cried to Yahuwah and was saved. For Yahuwah has saved this people, Israel. And Yahuwah has delivered us from all those evils. And Yahuwah had wrought signs and great wonders, which had not been done among the nations, Esau and his five sons, Amalek. Verse 10. Therefore, have he made two lots, one for the people of Yahuwah and another for all the Gentiles, the nation of Esau and his five sons. Verse 11. And these two lots came at the hour and time and day of judgment before Yahuwah among all nations. Verse 12. So Yahuwah remembered his people, Israel, the Israelites, and justify his inheritance. Verse 13. Therefore those days shall be upon them in the month Adar, the 14th and the 15th day of the same month, with the assembly of Yahdah Judah, son of the king, and joy, and with gladness before Yahuwah, according to the generations forever among his people Israel. Yahdah Judah.
So Mordecai ain't saying nothing. See, that's what I'm telling you. These days that you get ready to go into next Wednesday and Thursday, Mordecai just came out of Mordecai's mouth. Like when they all read Luke 1, verse 7-0. Yahuwah speaks by the mouth of his righteous seal since the world began. See, you look at the person that's talking, Mordecai ain't empty and thirsty. Verse 1 again. Read it, young man.
The rest of the book of Esther, chapter 10. Verse 1. Then Mordecai said, Yahweh has done these things.
Hey, that. Yahweh has done these things. So Yahweh put in the mind of Mordecai and Esther to come up with this solution about a two-day feast, this Wednesday and Thursday. This is Yahweh doing. You know, the question was, I want to hear some Justin and Yahweh in class. So here it is. Hey, y'all, back off. I said I'm a great note taker. I sit back and said, listen. But that was Yahweh putting in the mind for these 2 days coming up Wednesday and Thursday. You're not when he got something to say. A.O., give me a precept on A.O. in the 20th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Or the book of Jeremiah. A.O., give me a precept on that. A precept. Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. Precept. What did it say there, A.O.? What did it say there? A precept.
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, reading verses number 8 and verse number 9. 8 says, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Yahweh made a reproach unto me, and a decision daily. 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my mind as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay.
You see that? Yahweh. You see that? See, the word of Yahweh getting your bones. You got to say something. You know, we know what we're showing you is other nations don't sit well with that. But we show you what it's about, but the word be shut up in your bones, your bowels, and you be weary. You got to say something. Jeremiah got hit in the mouth. Cast him in the mouth and put him in prison. Hit him in the mouth. Bang! He got put in prison and hit in the mouth. He said, but I got to say something. I got hit in the mouth. He keep telling you. See, right. Listen. The feast says the same way you treat one feast, you treat all the rest of them. Now, we just going to remember that dedication feast was just like the feast called Tabernacle. But we just leave this word called feast, period. Because Yahweh don't change. He put in the mind to make these things happen. So, young lion, we go to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 through 19. We just leave the word, whatever the word says, and put in feast. Listen. His feast days is the same way. Same way you treat one feast, you treat the rest of them. Because what's not written in Leviticus 23, because there's another time to come. Everything that we get ready to hear, and Sister Sarah had me the book of Esther on 1 down to verse 10, had it waiting on me. 9, 1 to 10. 1 to 10 had it waiting on me. The young lad going to pick it back up in 11. So listen, what you're getting ready to read here, this is Yahweh doing. Ain't no seer can come up with nothing. He speaks through their mind and make them the right. 14 chapter 16 to 19, brother, young man. Zechariah 14, 16 through 19, come on.
The book of Zechariah, the seer, chapter 14, verse 16 to 19. Zechariah the seer, chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Yahdah Judah to even go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the feast. Verse 17. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Yahdah Judah to the kingdom and to worship the king, Yahweh, even upon death should be no rain. Verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come out that have no rain, there should be the plague wherewith Yahweh must smite the Egypt, the nation that come not up to keep the feast. Verse 19. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the feast.
So you see, it's a punishment for not keeping the feast. All the insiders of feast, whoever that put it on the table in his book, Yahweh put it in their mind to bring it out, like Jeremiah. He put in the mind of Jeremiah to go see Pashur, the big flow general. And the big flow general hit him in the mouth. But he said, I've got to tell you something. These feast days is a penalty for not keeping the feast days. So he wants to be clear that whatever he got the feast day, although you might not see in Leviticus 23, but that don't mean these feasts is just as important as 23. Because Yahweh put in the mind of Mordecai and Esther.
Well, Yahweh.
He the one sent in their hands to muster the battle against the other dragons. And take the other dragon now that we're going to read shortly. So now, when we go and find out where they pulled it from, we go to Numbers chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. So we leave the word feast in there because, listen to me, C. Ray. It's just like you can never get even with Esau. You can never own anything.
Yahweh.
Your car, you got to pay something on the car. And flip my mind, what you got to pay on the car every year, you got to pay something on it. Hey, yo, what you got to pay on the car every year? Something, flip my mind about what you're going to pay on the car every year. I know you're tired and you're drunk. Hey, something you got to pay on the car every year, Elder. But still.
If you don't pay for your car, who owns it?
Yeah. What you got to pay, although you got to tidy in your draw, what you got to pay every year, you just can't just, it's something you got to pay on that. It's going to flip my mind.
Well, if you got the title in your drawer, that means you paid for the car. But as long as you have that car on the streets of the city, you got to have a license plate or a sticker. You got to every year buy the license plate and sticker of necessity.
And insurance.
Sure. Well, you got to pay the license and the sticker. Got to pay. If you move it, you need the insurance.
If you move it, you got to have insurance.
Hallelujah. Well.
Okay, but suppose you move it and you don't have insurance, what happens?
If the man catch you, he going to find you for not having insurance, driving a motor vehicle without being insured in the state.
But suppose I say, well, I got the title in my glove compartment then. I own this car.
You own it, but you're not allowed to drive it unless you have insurance to drive. That's rule number one when you take your driver's test. Before you drive that vehicle, you have to be insured. Go and try to take your test at the driver's bureau where you get your test. If you don't have insurance, you can't take the driver's test. You got to wait till you get insured that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that? So here's the man, and I think it's a tax on the car. If I leave that alone. But the point we're making here, listen. This man was created to stay in your pocket. And now you can get him out your pocket by doing what he tells you to do. Numbers chapter 9, 13 and 14. Hey, young man, what is it that we can read about the feast day that's coming up? Feast coming up on the 3rd, called Purim. Now, all this is pulled, and you pay the feast, no, never mind. All six locations will be open within 7 miles from South Carolina to Chicago. Look what it says about these feasts that's coming up Wednesday and Thursday, right here. Numbers chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. What does it say, young lion?
Like the book of Numbers of the law of the heavenly tribes. The book of Numbers chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 9, verse 13 reads, but that man, that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbear to keep the feast, even that same person should be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season. That man should bear his sin. Verse 14, and if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the feast unto Yahweh according to the ordinance of the feast, and according to the matter thereof, so shall he do, and you shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that is born in the land.
Yahweh put in the mind to tell Moses, if you, he never get evil with Esau and his five sons or any other nation. But if you chose to sit out on the feast days and don't bring that offering he's talking about, he said, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to punish you for that. Because we're going to read, Sarah's going to read Esther 1 down to verse 10. This is Yahweh is putting it in the mind of, and he wants to muster the battle according to 13 verse 4, let's find out who behind all this right here, Isaiah 13 verse 4. Let's see who behind this, what Sister Sarah getting ready to read. And give me Isaiah 13 verse 4, What does it say, 13 verse 4?
In the book of Isaiah, looking at chapter 13, reading verse number 4, it says, the noise of a multitude, and the mountains, like as a great tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Yahweh of hosts mustered the hosts of the battle.
Yahweh mustered the battle. So everything going on, Yahweh's hands behind it. His hands behind it. When you contrary to the law, second commandments, his hands have the mission to beat your back.
Well, Yahweh,
if you want to stop beating your back, then you have to start applying yourself to some better. Esther 1 down to verse 10, deliver. Come on.
Going to the book of Esther, chapter 9, reading verses 1 down to verse 10. Verse 1 reads, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution in the day of the enemies of the Yada Judah, hoped to have power over them. Though it was turned to the contrary, that the Yada Judah had ruled over them that hated them. 2. The Yada Judah gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Asuras to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. 3. And all the rulers of the provinces, and the lieutenant, and the deputies, and the officers of the king helped the Yada Judah, because the fear of the Mordecai fell upon them. 4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces, for this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. 5. Thus the Yada Judah smote all their enemies, with the stroke of the sword and slaughtered all in destruction and slaughter and destruction and did what they would unto those that hated them. 6. And in Shushan, the palace, the Yadajudah slew and destroyed 500 men. Parsha Dathia, the Dauphin, and Asatha. 8. And Horatha, and Adelia, and Aradatha. 9. And Parmishta, and Arisa, and Aradai, and Vazita. 10. The 10 sons of Haman, and the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Yadajudah, slew they. But on the spoil laid not their hand.
So what does that mean? That means Yahweh sent in their hand, Mordecai's hand to take care of his business and do some big time killing. But all they had going on, they hauled, they kicking in their cow and all their possessions, they don't touch it. They don't even touch none of that stuff. That would happen to it over there. In the 7th chapter, we're not reading for time's sake. He told him to go over there and take care of business, but don't bring back one of the brothers of Judah. He's going to take the garment out, Babylonian garment. He got for out there to take care of business. So they knew how to go and beat the heads real good and leave all they chicken, hog, and cow that there and come on out by there. Pick up verse 11 there, young lions, read some more. Verse 11, young lions, continue.
Look at Esther chapter 9, verse 11 reads, on that day the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace, was brought before the king. Verse 12, and the king said to Esther, the queen, Yadajudah has slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman, that they have, what have they done, and the rest of the king's province. Now, what is your petition? And it should be granted you. Or what is your request further? And it should be done. Verse 13.
Hold that point. Hold that point, young man. He destroyed 500 men with an E. Men.
Men.
Yeah, men. So he destroyed them. So then now Esther is standing before the king, and he asked Esther what else that needs to be done. Mordecai and done some great killing. What else needs to be done? Let's see if she starts tap dancing. Let's see if she step up like the woman we read last night lesson when she had 7 sons. She said, go, she told her 7 sons of a bound statement. She told in the second book of Maccabees, what did you tell her sons to do? This woman had 7 sons, and what did she say for her sons to do? To read verse 7, verse 1, second Maccabees 7:1.
Okay. In the book of Second Maccabees, looking at chapter 7, reading verse number 1, says, it came to pass also that 7 brethren within their mother were compelled by the king against the law to taste swine flesh and were tormented with scourges and whips.
Mm. So these 7 boys were told to smell some pig. You ain't got to eat, just smell it. And they said, we ain't want you to smell that stuff. Then the mother was on the clock in verse 29. What did the mother say until I have her sons and weed up some hogs so much that the man moved off, went out of business, he's still counting his money. He had about three locations. He's still counting his money. He'll make much money with them hogs. See? So he said, look, that this king told him, eat some, smell some hogs. And what did she say? And they went to the mama. And what did the mama tell them in verse 29?
In verse 29 says.
Make it sound good. Hey, yo, make it sound good in verse 28. And 29.
Okay, 28 and 29. 28 says, I beseech ye, my son, look upon the heaven and the earth and all that is therein, and consider that Yahuwah made them of things that were not. And so it was mankind made likewise. 29. Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of thy brethren, take thy death, that I may receive thee again in mercy with thy brother.
Wait a minute. What did the mother tell her boy to do? I'm going to eat.
She said.
All they do is eat some bread. Hey, yo. All they do is eat a nice dinner cooked pork chop. She told him to do what? And 29?
It says, fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of thy brother, take thy death that I may receive thee again in mercy with thy brother.
You mean mother told that he eat hog?
Hallelujah.
Take the death. I'm still eating some hog, not eat a bit of pizza hog. He told her boys, just go ahead and let them beat you back some more, and I will receive you again. See, hog eating is a death sentence to the children of Israel. But we now will be in these religious organizations, and all they got is hog all day long. And you tell that preacher, let's pray over that hog, and it's going to be fine. But it's not so. It'll give me a precept in Sirach 34, verse 4. It's not so. Sirach 34, 4. See, the preacher is lying to you. You can't pray over a hog and eat it. You know? The woman told her boys to take death, I'm still eating smelling hog. I want to get, you know, they come threaten you to take your kid to jail unless you tell of what little Ray Ray did. And you say, hey, I care what Ray Ray did. My boy ain't going to jail. That mindset is. She told them boys, take your death. Take that death. Or you eat some hog. You see that? Now we eat hog now. And now they got a hog called now the other white meat now. This is the other white meat. Now they jack you up with that steak. This is the other white meat. And now you buying the other white meat today. You see that? And wonder why you got high blood pressure. 34 verse 4, Elder, what it saying is a lot.
In the book of Sirach, looking at chapter 34, verse 4 says, of an unclean thing, what can be cleansed? And from a thing that which is false, what truth can come?
Ain't that so? But your preacher can pray over the hog of an unclean hog, pig, and chicken, and now they got clean chicken. How much is that 10-pound pair? Give me $100 for it. Because they'll be clean chicken. You can't clean no chicken. They got $100 on a 10-pound bag box of chicken, and you buy it because they said clean. You have some Israelite women in the back room cleaning the mess off the gut of a pig. Brains and eggs, brains and its gut. And you see, right? why we got all the problems in our body today. We can't battle no never mind. Go back, young man. Verse number, what do you got, 12?
Man, verse 13. The book of Esther, chapter 9, verse 13. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to Yada Judah, which are in Shushan, to do tomorrow also, according to this day's decree. And let Haman, their son, be hanged upon the gallows. Verse 14, and the king commanded it so to be done, and a decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman to his son. Verse 15, but Yada Judah, Yahweh and Shushan, gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men. As 300 men at Shusha. But on the prey, they laid not their hand. Verse 16. But the other Yada Judah, that were the king's providence, gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rested from their enemies and slew of their foes 70 at 5,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. Verse 17. And on the 13th of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same rested day, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Verse 18. But Yada Judah, that were Shusha, assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Verse 19, therefore Yada Judah of the villages that dwell in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. Verse 20. And Mordecai, the Bishopite, wrote these things and sent letters to all Yada Judah. There were in all the providence of the king, Ahasuerus, both near and far. Verse 21. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar, and on the 15th day of the same yearly, 22, as the day wherein Yada Judah rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning until a good day, that they shall make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Verse 23, and Yada Judah undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai the Benjamite had written unto them. Verse 24, because Haman, the sons of Amathadah, the Agagite, the enemy of all Yada Judah, have devised against Yada Judah to destroy them, and has cast pearl, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. Verse 25, but when Esther came before the king, he commanded by the letters, that is wicked device, which he devised against Yada Judah, to return upon his own head and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Verse 26. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, all the words of this letter and of death which they had seen concerning this matter and which had come to them. Verse 27. Yahdah Judah ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail that they should keep these 2 days feasts according to their rights and according to their appointed time every year. Verse 28. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among Yahdah Judah, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Verse 29. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Ephatha, Abadiah, and Mordecai, Yahdah Judah, the Benjamite, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. Verse 30. And he sent letters to all Yahdah Judah, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth. Verse 31. To prefer these days of Purim at their times appointed, according to Mordecai, Yahdah Judah, the Benjamite, and Esther the queen, and had enjoyed them as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matter of the fasting and their cry. Verse 32. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book.
It was written in the book, huh? Give me 10, 1, 2, and 3. But Young Lion, give me a precept. Give me 13, verse 1, Exodus 1 and 10. 1 and 10 there, Young Lion. Exodus chapter 13, verse 1 and 10.
Go on to the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 1 and 10. The book of Exodus, chapter 13, verse 1, and it reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 10, you should therefore keep this feast and this season from year to year.
You keep Yahweh's feast days and seasons from year to year. Numbers chapter 9, 13 and 14, Young Lion. So Yahweh said his feast days, he's supposed to keep them from year to year. On a set time, year to year, you keep his feast. Numbers chapter 9, 13 and 14, there, Young Lion.
The book of Numbers of the Heavenly Tablets, chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 9, verse 13. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbear to keep the feast, even that same person should be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. Verse 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the feast unto Yahweh according to the ordinance of the feast and according to the matter thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
So you see, so now, Elder, and Numbers 15, 15, 16, and 29, Elder, What is there we can read, Elder Tibbs? Numbers chapter 15, 15, 16, and 29. What do we read, Elder? Numbers.
In the book of Numbers.
15, verse 15 and 16 and 29. What does it say?
In the book of Numbers.
Chapter 15. Going to 15, 16, and verse number 29. 15 says, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you, an ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahuwah. 16. One law, and one manner shall be for you and one and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Verse 29, it says, you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the family of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them.
So you see, you do it according to the Bible. Don't let nothing hinder you from doing Yahuwah's laws, statutes, and commandments and these feast days. Let nothing hinder you.
Yahuwah.
Stranger that's sojourning with you supposed to keep what the Bible saying, and you're supposed to direct them to the Bible. Come on, Sister, and give me a quote and figure it out after you read 10, 1, 2, 3. Esther 10, 1, 2, 3. And a closing statement that puts their action on your project. Come on.
Yahweh bless you there, says Red City Roy.
Hallelujah, Brother Makai Israel. Hallelujah, there, Brother Makai Israel. Brother Makai Israel, we got a 10th chapter, 1, 2, and 3 of Esther. So you might want to deliver a knockout blow there, young man. What did it say there? Brother
Micaiah
Israel, Yahweh bless you.
And Yahweh be with you, that says where it's see what. Okay, let me go to the book of Esther. We're going to chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1, 2, and verse number 3. The book of Esther, chapter 10, verse 1, 2, and 3, verse 1 reads, and the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. Verse 2, and all the acts of his power and all his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? Verse 3, for Mordecai, the Yada Judah, the southern kingdom, Benjamite, was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among Yada Judah, and accepted of the multitude of his brothers, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed.
So what are you seeing in 16 chapter 1 down to verse 5 there, young lion? What are you saying? In Proverbs 16, 1 down to verse 5.
All right, we're going to the book of Proverbs. We're going to read chapter 16, verse 1 down to verse number 5. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 1 down to verse number 5. Verse 1 reads, the preparations of the mind in man and the answer of the tongue is from the YHWH Yahuwah. Verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Yahuwah way is the spirit to the Yahuwah, and your thoughts should be established. Verse 4, the Yahuwah hath made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Verse 5, everyone that is proud in mind is an abomination to the Yahuwah. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished.
So everything Yahuwah got the wicked made, and he making a plan If you get your Yahuwah right, he'll have the enemies right with you. So the whole thing about is doing Yahuwah's order, which you got to come down by you doing his order. Now, you're keeping the law, statutes, commandments the way you tell you do it. Guess what? The witness got to come down. Now, young lion, give me a closing statement after you give me Leviticus chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and precept chapter 1 John 1, verse 7. And a closing statement. Let's see what he got written in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and 1 John there, Brother Micaiah Israel, verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Let's see what he says.
All right, we're going to the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. Read, verse 1. And the wise W.H. Yahuwah spake unto Moses and to Aaron the seer, saying unto them, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. The book of
Wait a minute, young lion. Are you reading Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2?
Oh, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The book of Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse number 2. Verse 1, read. And the Yahuwah called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the temple of the congregation, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Yahuwah, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock.
Precept. 1 John 1, verse 7, and closing statement there, young man. Hey, Elder, tell me the book of Exodus 29. And we'll pick up verse 4 and 2. We'll read a little bit until we get our point. And we'll get a precept out of that, Elder. 1 John 1, verse 7, that young lion, and a closing statement, that young lion. Exodus. Come on, Brother Micaiah. 1 John 1, verse 7.
The book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Yahuwah the Son, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
See that? If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, then his blood cleanses us. If we got to walk in the light to be clean, to be cleansed by Yahuwah, so why you, by merging in water, if you ain't got the light or understanding by keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments and the fringes, then you're not clean by Yahuwah, although you might have been baptized. But you got to walk in the light and the newness of life to be cleansed by the blood of Yahuwah. You know, preach that message, we up under the blood. How you up under the blood and you ain't walking in the light? No, you have to cliche you making this preacher. You got to keep the law, statutes, and commandments, keep these feast days, one of them fringes, to be walking, and then you be cleansed by his blood when he washed you through that word. Talk about that when. No class tomorrow unless you're on pal talk. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, whatever your closing thoughts is, take your time and give us a closing thought on whatever you want that Yahuwah is going to give you a closing thought. Come on in. Come on, Mr.
All right. Micaiah. Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for opportunity to meet the seer Israel of Steve Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the elders, mothers, all the teachers, the brothers and sisters in the Six Anointed Camp, and for bringing the 12 tribes of Israel back together under the Yahuwah the Son, the Yahuwah the Father, with the leadership of the seer Israel, the Steve Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the opportunity to be able to teach my family the word of Yahuwah, and I'm going to read the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1. Beginning at verse 1, read, my son, forget not my law, but let your mind keep my law. Verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. bind them about your neck, write them upon the table of your mind. Verse 4, so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahuwah and man. Verse 5, trust in the Yahuwah with all your mind and lean not unto your own understanding. 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah. Hey, yo, before you get your clothes, say to Elder, what it says in Exodus chapter 29, verse 42, down to verse 46, and closing statement, hey, yo. What it says in the book of Exodus 29, 42, 46. What it say, yo?
In the book of Exodus, chapter 29, verses 42 and 46, I believe you said, verses.
Take it straight on down. You're walking all the way
okay.
down.
Hallelujah.
You're walking all the way down.
42 says, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle and the congregation before the Yahuwah, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. 43. And there I will meet with the family of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. 44. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me and the priests office. 45. And I will dwell among the family of Israel, and I will be their Yahuwah. 46. And they shall know that I am the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, Israel, that I may dwell among them. I am the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah.
All right. So then you know he will meet you, congregation of the Six Anointed Camp. That's where he's going to meet you at. So that's where he's going to meet you at. And give me a closing statement, Elder, but give me a 5:14 of St. John first. Give me a closing statement. I want to get a preacher about it. So Yahuwah said he's going to meet you at the worship place on these feast days. That's where he's going to meet you at. He's going to meet you at when you say, well, my mind is with the class. No, it don't work like that. Let's see, say in 5:14 in the closing statement,
of St. John?
St. John.
In the book of St. John, chapter 5, reading verse number 14, says, afterwards, Yahuwah the Son findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest worse things come unto thee.
See that? He said, you got the knowledge of the feast days is very important. It's a sign. You know these things. He said, step to the place and do these things. Wednesday night and Thursday night is the feast of Yahuwah. Yahuwah put in the night of Mordecai name. We read that plainly. We took great notes of the last Saturday class. And Yahuwah put in the night of Mordecai when you read that, the same chapter 10, verse 1. Mordecai said, this ain't my thing. Yahuwah put in my mind to say what I see. That's a game changer there, young lion. Understand one thing. Yahuwah behind everything that is done in man. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, evil. He controls it all. Hell, closing statement. It's all yours. Come on.
Yahuwah bless the seers, the mothers, and the sisters that join our network, and all the people that are listening to receive the word of Yahuwah. And also remember our statement that we made in our opening, that there are seen and unseen. The seen you can accept, the unseen is done through faith. Remember that when you make your tithes and offerings. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Yahuwah.
So
we swear that Yahuwah is behind everything. He find everything. I hear a lot of they think, well, here, can you give me a case in point, a precept? Well, okay. Young lion, son of Titus, a precept. And Yahweh is behind everything. Give me 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, I want a precept. Find me some Deuteronomy to find what that precept is. You got an idea what I'm talking about. Let's see what it says. What Yahweh say he do. Okay, well, give me 45, 6, and 7 of Isaiah. That's getting warmed up. Well, Isaiah, pull that verse. Pull it from somewhere, but give me 45, 6, and 7. You're going to find where he pulled it at. Isaiah 45, 6, and 7 there, young line. That's Titus.
Well, to the book Isaiah the seer, chapter 45, verse 6 and verse 7. Isaiah the seer, chapter 45, verse 6, read. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, Yahweh, do all these things.
Mm-hmm. Give me 32, verse 39 to 41 there, and then give me a closing statement with Numbers chapter 9, 13 and 14. There, young man. Precept 32, verse 39, down to verse 42. Then go to Numbers 9, 13 and 14, closing statement, young man.
Yahweh, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39 to 41. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39 reads.
Take it down to verse 42. Take it down to verse 42, then go to Numbers, chapter 9, 13 and 14, and close the statement, young man.
The fifth book of the law, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39 to 42. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I eat it. I am eating, and there is no Yahweh with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. 41. And fight with my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment. I will render vengeance to my enemies. I will reward them that hate me. 42. And I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives from the beginning of reverence upon the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Numbers chapter 9, 13 and 14, close statement there, young lion.
The book of Numbers of the law of the heavenly tablets, chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. Numbers chapter 9, verse 13 reads, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbear to keep the feast, even that same person should be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season. That man should bear his sin. 14. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you and will keep the feast unto Yahweh according to the ordinance of the feast and according to the matter thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
One way, Yahweh's way. Keep these things saved. Keep these laws, statutes, and commandments. Now, line, close the statement. Everything on your part. Do it all. Come on.
All right. I'll read into the book of Sirach. The book of Sirach. Chapter 18. chapter 22. Let nothing hinder you to pay your vow in due time, and defer not unto death to be justified. Verse 23. Before you pray, prepare yourself, and be not as one that tempt Yahshua. Verse 24. Think upon the wrath that shall be at the end, and the time of vengeance, when he shall turn away his face. Hallelujah, qua. Hallelujah, qua. Hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua.
All right, this is the end of the broadcast. Remember one thing, no broadcast on tomorrow, but it'll have some plans about 7 o'clock tomorrow on that Pal Talk, back on airways at 7:30. Now, remember, all feast days on the radio at 7:30. So when the sunset would be in red for turn for back-to-back days, white garments and regular blue. So be clear about it. Just all feast days at 7:30.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah,